Hello, I'm Grant Gonot, and this is the 11th episode of the Modcast, and we're going to discuss the question, are people good? And so please right now subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram, and our website, and all links to audio platforms will be in the link in the description. Thank you. And so Beck's going to start things off addressing this question.
Yeah, so a general misconception that all humans have, we believe that we're good. And so maybe there's some of you watching this right now that think, yeah, generally I'm a good person, you know, I do good things most of the time, you know, I help people, you know, I'm not mean all the time, yeah, I mess up occasionally, but if I had to go to heaven or hell, you know, I probably do most things good, so I'd probably go to heaven. You see, it's not our standard to get into heaven or hell that matters, it's God's standard. And so once we realize that, that changes how we should be thinking, because God's standard is perfection. God says, be holy as I am holy. We have to be sinless. And so how do we do that? That's impossible, right? We've all sinned. And I'm going to talk about a verse right here from Romans 3:23 that says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so none of us have attained that. All of us have a sin nature and have sinned. And so we're less than. We cannot attain that goal, right? And so the answer biblically to the question, are people good, is no, we're not good. We're evil by nature, right? And if you're thinking to yourself, no, I'm pretty good, why don't you go down the Ten Commandments? Have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever stolen? I mean, these little things. Have you ever said something mean to your parents? Have you dishonored them? Have you looked on someone with lust? That's adultery, Jesus says. And so go look through those things, and you're going to find out pretty quick that, you know what, we aren't good people, right? And we need a sinner, and we need a savior. And so the root of that, the reason people think they're good, is because of pride. And we have this pride issue, and it's universal. We think we're better than we are. And, you know, we think we're good in our own eyes because we're prideful, and we overlook our sins. But if we saw sin how God sees it, it's terrible, and it rips us apart from him with fellowship and communion from him. And so, you know, we're not good people. We're prideful, and we got to get over that, and we got to see ourselves how God sees us biblically, right? The first step to addressing a problem is realizing there is one, and that's the sad part of so many people today. They think they're good. They think they don't need a savior, and yet they do need one so badly. Uh-huh. And so that's like the main issue, right? And people who don't want to come to the Lord, they think they're good, and they think they're good without God. And that's not how it is. We need a savior. And so later in Romans, it says, in Romans 5:18, it says, therefore, as through one man's offense, talking about Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation or separation from God. Even so, through one man's righteous act, Jesus Christ, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. And so through Adam, death came to everybody. Sin nature came before the fall, before Genesis 3. God had a perfect world set up where we would live harmoniously with him. And when sin came in the world, we see how it just ravages and tears us apart from God. And so what we're talking about, that that standard to get into heaven is perfection. Well, we're all like that. We're all short. How is anyone in heaven today? Well, the simple answer is Jesus Christ. He justifies us. He came down and took our place on the cross, and he said, God, I'm going to take the wrath that's due to everyone who believes in my name, anyone who wants to receive me. I'm going to take that wrath that's due to them, because we're all due wrath, right? God has to judge. God has to pour out his judgment on sin because it's so evil, and Jesus Christ took that. He didn't have to. He died on the cross. And that's what it says also earlier in Romans 5. It says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So how do we get to heaven? We trade our filthy rags, our sin nature, and we trade for Christ's righteousness. And that happened on the cross. And so that's the great switch. That's the gospel right there. We're not good enough. Jesus was good enough. We take his righteousness, and he takes our punishment. That's the gospel in a nutshell. And so if you're not, if you're watching this and you thought you were good, recognize, man, we're not. We can't get into heaven. We don't measure up to God's standard. You know, we're too prideful most of the time to see that. But if you've come to that realization, come to Jesus Christ, man. He died for your sins. He wants to take that, right? He died for that 2,000 years ago. He wants to give you his righteousness, his perfection, so that we can get to heaven. And what a blessing that is. It's free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pray 100 times. You don't have to read your Bible a certain amount of times. You don't have to help old ladies across the street. All you have to do is believe and receive it, and you'll be saved. And so that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that answers the question of, are people good or not?
Mm-hmm. And so going along with what Beck was saying earlier about going down through the list of the Ten Commandments, Ray Comfort, shout out to him, he does that all the time.
Living waters, baby.
And a lot of times you see the people, whenever he'll just start off with the question, do you think you're a good person? And they'll generally say, yeah, I think I am. Mm-hmm. Because the world's view of good is what you just said. Helping out an old lady across the street. And the sad reality is, you'll see a lot of these people that are within Christian schools still behave, still, you know, being under the law of Christianity, and they're living under that. But whenever the doors are closed and they're behind closed doors, they don't really understand that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, sees everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be judged for, it talks about in 2 Corinthians, for every action, believer or not. And that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we can be labeled as, oh yeah, we go to this Christian school, but how are we truly behaving, you know? And going along with that talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator between God and man, because we were separated in Genesis 3 when Adam rebelled. And now the only way back is through Jesus' atoning death on the cross, so that righteousness may be imputed unto us, so that on judgment day, whenever we are there before the Lord, before God, being judged, he can proclaim us not guilty because of Jesus's death on the cross. It's nothing that we did, no good works that we did. It's the faith that should produce the works. We're not saved by the works. And so a verse that to look at here is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, which reads, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So Jesus, when he came into this world, he knew no sin and lived a perfect life. We all know that that's the doctrine, that he lived a life pure of sin. And that's why he was the perfect sacrifice. No longer was animal sacrifice needed. And in the early church, especially in this letter, 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking to a church of people that think, you know what, they don't need? They don't need the Lord. They don't need to, you know, that this grace is something that, you know what, like you were saying, it's such an easy thing. We just receive. Grace is something that we just receive. We don't do anything for it. And a lot of times that's a hard thing for people to wrap their heads around, is I don't have to work for this. No, that's the whole point, is there's nothing we could do to deserve this gift. Grace is an undeserved gift. There's nothing that we could muster up and do. It doesn't matter if we help an old lady across the street 5 times or 500 times. Those people, the person that helped the old lady across 5 times is just as guilty as the person that helped the person, the old lady across the street 500 times, because we've all sinned. And like you said, if we truly understood what sin was in the eyes of a perfect God who is perfect, all through, is outside of time, knows everything about us, we would truly understand how much our sin grieves him. We know in Ephesians that sin grieves the Spirit. And so, yeah, if we can just sit down and meditate on what sin truly is, we see that in this verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is, he knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so, yeah, the only way that we're able to be reconciled to God is by putting our trust in Christ, because we and understand that, no, we're not good people apart from Jesus. And then once the Spirit empowers us, we're able to live lives that are more pure to Christ. And that's what Paul stresses all throughout the New Testament.
Yeah. So the through these talking points, the main message to the non-believer, the person who came into this thinking they were good, go through the Ten Commandments, recognize your need for the Savior, recognize how you aren't enough to get to heaven, and how there's a Savior who wants to forgive you and wants to give you his righteousness. To the believer, I plead with you to recognize your sin, recognize your depravity, recognize your sin nature, and then cling to the Father. It says in John 15 that we can do nothing apart from God. And so don't act like you can do something apart from him, right? Because apart from him, you're nothing. We're filthy rags. So cling to him and find the power to live a holy life in a way that we love people, we serve people, and that we can tell more people about their depravity and tell more people about the gospel that we found and the Savior that we found and the hope that we found in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And so to wrap up, as Beck said, we can't, as the unbeliever thinking that we're a good person, Beck and I, along with all of our people in the Christian community, had to come to that same realization that we're not good people and we have to repent, and we don't repent once, we repent continually. And as you just look through the Old Testament, as much as God is a God of love and ready to forgive us, he's just as much a just God mm-hmm. as he is a God of love. And that's why he had to pronounce so many judgments mm-hmm. in the Old Testament on Assyria, Babylon, all of these groups of people that did all of these abominations to the Lord Jesus Christ and or to God. And you see, he had to pronounce judgment on those things. And he has to do the same thing to us. And that judgment is coming one day. And as people that are not good, we need to be putting our hope in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary so that we may be pronounced children of God whenever our Lord comes back and things are settled the way it's written all out throughout within the scriptures. So yeah, we just pray that we're not here to bash people in general, because we've had to come to these same conclusions, but it's a great message that the Lord died on the cross for our sins, and now we may be pronounced clean on judgment day. Mm-hmm. So we just encourage you to lean into that and really meditate on that and see how we feel about that. And the Lord, whenever we knock, that he opens the door and he grants us the reconciliation that we need to be able to be called a child of God. So yeah, thank you for tuning into the 11th episode of the Modcast. And we pray that you just go out and have a great week and continue to seek the Lord. Peace.